The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
It's another week here on the Surrey Storm Podcast, online since December last year. Busy week. It's the week that Mickey celebrated her birthday last weekend. We're going to hear from Sophie Hankin as she leaves this week for Saudi. And more memories from ex-team manager Naomi Taylor. But first, Danielle Garfoot. She's the clinic manager at the treatment room at Surrey Sports Park. And the good news is it's reopened again last weekend. And she's been telling us more about what it was like to be back.
We opened on Saturday, so really excited about that. It's been quite an intense build-up, a really short build-up, once all of the team were taken off the furlough scheme and we were able to get all of our processes put in place. So it was quite intense, but we opened on Saturday. So Georgia Whiffen was our first therapist to open the door. So it was really exciting.
And like everywhere, that immediate impact, what was that like at the treatment room?
It was actually really much better than expected,
right?
Because I was a little bit concerned that people might still feel concerned about coming in, but we put so many measures in place and the sports park as a whole has been very transparent and public about the measures that they're putting in place to keep everybody safe. And we just had, we were kind of fully booked over the weekend, actually. So it went down really well, and hopefully we can maintain, keep that momentum going and keep reassuring people and keep moving forward with it.
On the Sports Park Facebook, a lot of people probably have seen what you said, and it's just about taking the foot off the pedal over the last couple of months, maybe more time with family and easing a bit off that mental stress. So on a normal period at treatment room, would you see that much with the athletes there, that constant push to be at the best all the time?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think every athlete has their own approach and their own thoughts as to what they need as an individual to make them better, and we're certainly always there to try to be able to see to what they feel like they need, which can vary hugely between athletes. They might some would come in quite frequently for treatment. They would all be very preventative in their thoughts and their approach to kind of, you know, want us to be able to see where they could do better, work with the strength and conditioning team to highlight any areas of weakness, range of motion deficits, any technical changes they might need to put into place and go from there. Others obviously will be very proactive when they feel that there's a niggle and want us to have a look at it. And there's certainly others that are very much, you know, dependent on the sport and dependent on how they've come through the sport and come through the ranks. They just crack on. And they're the ones that we also have to be quite mindful of, is to ensure that we're getting across, you know, please don't come and see us when you're hobbling, when you can't jump, you know, when your performance is being significantly affected. So there are those as well that just grind through. So we definitely have to ensure that we have something in place for all of those athletes. It's dependent on the sport that they're in, dependent on the pathways that they've come, will dictate what they feel like they need. And some of them talk massage all the time. So every year, because we do have quite a high turnover within some of the sports, of players and of their university athletes as well, we only have them for a set period of time while they're studying. The needs of that sort of group every year can change. So it's also trying to make sure that you've got staff in the right places to be able to accommodate their needs as well.
And what have you been doing at the treatment room to get back up and running yourself?
Yeah, we've had to go pretty quickly into looking at all of our procedures, looking at the recommendations from our governing body. So the Society of Sports Therapists is our governing body, and they put out some return to practice guidelines. So we're looking at those and trying to apply those to our business. So it was quite quick. I was taken off furloughs in July, and we just needed to look at right from how people would book in, how we would then look at triaging them, because we've got actually got a new service with sports therapy online, so we can do our consultations online. So it's looking at making sure that that individual is right to come into the building. So the benefit of them coming in outweigh the risk. So making sure that we did a triage phone call with them, and then going right through to, okay, they are coming into the building, how do we get them in the building the safest way? Because the sports park is very much at the moment all on a booking system, so only people that have got a booking can come in. So our therapists go down and we greet our clients downstairs outside, take their temperature, and then bring them through into the treatment room where they put on their PPE. So it's taken quite a lot of work over quite a short space of time to make sure that we've got all our processes in place. And then you get to that point and you go, right, we need to tell our clients this is what we're doing now. So then there's quite a big marketing plan to get all the information out to our clients to make sure that they, A, know we're opening again, but B, to make sure they know what we're doing and what we're putting in place to keep everybody safe. So it has, yeah, it's been quite an intense few weeks, but we're there. A few tweaks, I think, from the weekend. I'll catch up with my team shortly, and we can put some little changes in place if we need to, and keep developing, really, from there, and keep making sure that we've got, as we do with our athletes, making sure that we've got the right services for the people that want to come in. So starting off with our sports therapy online service, if people don't feel confident coming into the sports park, we can conduct our assessment online via various different mediums that have popped up amazingly quickly since everybody was sent home. And we can do our assessments there and give rehabilitation and advice over online. So it's quite exciting, actually, that it's pushed us also into developing some new services too.
You'll still be doing those free 10-minute consultations as well?
We are, definitely. I think they're so important for people to understand how we can help them and find out if we can help them. You know, sometimes people are just so unsure as to whether they need to see a sports therapist or a physio or an osteopath, or and who could help them the best and what would work better for them. So I think they're just really important to actually sit down with somebody who has got that knowledge and just ask a few questions, find out what a session is going to look like. For us, certainly as sports therapists, the title itself is still gaining traction with people to sort of understand what a sports therapist does. And also, we're trying really hard to break down some of the barriers that we are only for sports people and athletes. And whilst we do obviously work with them, we are able to look at anybody that's undertaking any form of activity at all to help them be able to do that better, pain-free. And particularly with people over lockdown, I think did, you know, take to running potentially or different online activities, kind of Pilates online and yoga and that kind of thing. So we can certainly help all of those people, as well as people that were maybe sat at their desk more than they might have been because their desk setup wasn't quite right, trying to work at home.
Yeah, things like that.
So we can certainly look at neck and shoulder pain. So with the 10-minute consultations, I think that's really important. So we're now doing those over the phone as opposed to in person. And we can chat with people over the phone, see what's right for them, and obviously do our triage call then to see if an online consultation, a full consultation video would be better, or if they need to come in to the sports park. So we're definitely still running those.
It's early days, things obviously just opened again this week, but are you back to full 7 days a week or limited time for the time being?
We are 7 days a week. We are slightly more restricted on amount of bookings we can take because we've had to allow time for cleaning in between.
Yeah.
So our sessions now, we kind of book people in for longer, but within that time we allocate time to be able to clean the treatment room down. So we've got strict areas within the room where the therapist can go and where the client can go. So we know exactly what it is we need to clean in between each client. And then the therapist needs to remove all of their PPE and get new PPE on at that point, or obviously when the client comes in. So we aren't able to do as many bookings in a day as we were before, just because of that. But we are still open 7 days a week and still have our early morning, so from 7 o'clock appointments, and our later evening, so we're now working until 8 o'clock in the evening.
And just from your point, it'll be really nice just to have it back open.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was such a concern during lockdown, because we were so unsure as to at what point we were going to be given the go ahead to open. You know, the government had their guidelines set out for all these different phases, and within those phases they had lists of, you know, cinemas and gyms and ice rinks and all those kind of things. And as a sort of therapy, it was being very much left to the governing body to decide, because I think they had us being able to open a lot earlier. So I've seen chiropractors certainly opened a lot earlier than we did. So we were waiting basically for the society to give a go ahead. And from my point of view, I was thinking, until they relax social distancing rules, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to open at all. But thankfully they came out with really excellent guidelines to demonstrate how we needed to go about booking our clients in and this level of PPE we need to wear. I've got a great photo about to go out of Georgia dressed in her full PPE, is about to go out to our full client database. Yeah, we're kind of joking, they do look a little bit like the Ghostbusters with their full set on.
Forward it on. I need a picture for the podcast image.
Okay, I will.
In the meantime,
just gonna go.
Systems are obviously in place at Surrey Sports Park. We can go online on the Facebook page and see the video that you and the rest of your team have prepared. How can we book?
You can book online. So you go into the Sports Park website and go into the treatment room page on there, and there's a button right in the middle to book on via our online system, and then someone can contact you from that point. You can email to the treatment room at surrey.ac.uk, or give us a call. So we've got our team are all back on the reception, so they'll be able to take your call to make a booking from there.
Let's hear now from somebody who wasn't with us long but still made an impact on court and with the fans as well. Sophie Hankin, she's off to Saudi this week. So why don't we rewind and listen to some of the reasons she joined Storm.
This is a fresh chapter for me, and I was lucky enough to give this opportunity from Mickey, and it's for me to develop more of my netball, and I will definitely learn some key things under Mickey's coaching, so I'm really excited for what's to come for this season ahead.
So why Surrey Storm for that next chapter? Was Mickey key in that decision?
Yes, Mickey gave me this opportunity, and after a rough season from last year, obviously with a knee injury, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to play, and the fact that I was still wanted is actually makes me feel really happy that she has faith. So I am really excited, and she has been a very key factor of me joining Surrey, and I'm very excited to meet all the new fans and get to know the area and look forward to all of our game days and hear those very loud cheers in the crowd, which I was against, but now I'm very glad that I'm part of.
How important is it when a coach believes in you as a player? Does that give you extra confidence?
It does give us confidence, and it's also the belief. Like, sometimes obviously when you're having maybe a bad day in training and you don't have the belief in yourself, it's always nice that a coach is willing to, like, say to you, like, even it might be like straight to the point, or it might be very softly, but the fact is they do have belief in you, and you do need that as a person when you are having those bad days, but also when you're having the good days. So they then say, like, yes, you're doing a great job.
You play both goal attack and wing attack. What strengths do you think you bring to the court?
I think goal attack, I love shooting. I'm not afraid to put up the shot. Even if I do have a couple of misses, I'm still wouldn't consider myself to then back away. And I'm hoping, like, if I do get a chance to build on my wing attack, it's just to build that connection with my shooters. Obviously, as a shooter, I do know, like, what we like to have the feeds in, what kind of areas we like to work in, and how wing attacks can help us. So I'd like to incorporate that, so that when I get that position, if I do, then I can bring that to the table.
And I suppose in any sport, days where you have 100% success are very rare. So
yeah,
you've got to put yourself in the position to miss to then come back and
100%. You have to have faith in yourself. And I think as well, with the teammates that we do have in Surrey, everyone has each other's back. So to have the confidence just to keep putting that shot up, and even with our shooters, whether I have a goal shooter in there, she's always going to have my back to get the rebound and always have that trust in me as well whilst we're playing, which I think is very key.
There seems to be a great spirit around the camp. What, collectively and individually for yourself, what do you hope to achieve with SCORM?
I think I want to work hard. I want to get my fitness up, which has been very apparent in the last 3 weeks. But I just want to get back into netball, have that flow again, get continuous play and just support one another. And with this, we are all on the same page. We are starting with the hard work first and we're just going to keep building and building. And then what we end up with, obviously we want to hit that top four and we're going to be proud of where we end. So that's the aim for the season.
Good luck, Sophie. The fans and everybody at the sports park as well wish you well, and don't leave it too long before you're back.
We're really excited to welcome you back to the treatment room. As you can expect, some things have changed. You can still book with us in the normal way, so you can give us a call, send us an email, or book via our online system.
Once your appointment has been booked, one of our therapists will give you a call to discuss whether a face-to-face or online consultation is most appropriate for you. This will be determined between you and the therapist, and once this has been decided, the relevant forms will be sent out to you via email.
Our online consultation will run as a face-to-face appointment. This will include a thorough history, a full assessment, and recommendations for the right treatment for you. That might be a rehab plan sent to you or a recommendation of a face-to-face appointment for some hands-on treatment.
Once you arrive at the sports park, please give us a call to let us know you have arrived. Your therapist will meet you by the assembly point next to the swimming pool. Your therapist will be wearing a mask, so we ask that you do too. We'll then take your temperature, all to ensure the safety of our patients and our staff. The treatment room will be divided into two to ensure social distancing can be maintained in all appointments where necessary. Once in the treatment room, your therapist will then be putting on the required PPE for the session. All payments will be taken in advance, whether these for face-to-face or your online appointments, as these currently cannot be taken in person.
I hope that video helped to clear up any queries that you have, but if you have any other questions at all, please don't hesitate to give us a call or send us an email.
The Surrey Storm podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
I'm Emily Nemeth and welcome to the next Surrey Storm podcast with Player Leia.
Thanks, Emily. Time now to hear more from Naomi Taylor, and she's been sharing more of her Storm memories.
I remember the first couple of seasons, we didn't train there.
No.
Because we couldn't get the court time. So we trained elsewhere and we played our games there. So for it now to be, you know, the sports park is the hub of Storm and everything happens there, and you've got your S&C team and the gym, and I mean the gym there is amazing as well, but yeah, that all takes time to build, and I think people stuck with it and could see, like I said, could see how far it could go, and Storm very quickly became a big name in the Super League.
And people like a young Mickey, how have you seen her?
Yeah, Mickey's great.
Grow and develop.
Do you know what, I wasn't shocked when she took the role, but it was early in her career, right? She was still very much in the heart of her playing and still is. And she's young. So to take on a role like that is tough, but Mickey's tough. Mickey's nails. She knows her stuff. She's a very good coach. And I actually think she's playing better now that she's got all of that on her shoulders. And I don't know how you do that, but she seems to have lifted everything. Maybe it's a confidence thing. She's taking confidence and the girls obviously fully buy into her. But yeah, she's playing really well. She's doing a fantastic job with that team. Credit to her.
I have a video of waiting in a tunnel at the Copper Box to get the medal. I still shake when I think about it and post it. Have you seen how shaky it is? But those kind of moments are going to be with me and I haven't even got a medal for it. So tell me a bit about those finals that massive venue, what they're like.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, there's loads of memories like that I look back on and cry with happiness, cry with sadness. I mean, God, as well as the highs, there were some big lows as well. That one goal loss, the Helen Housby goal, the Thunder finals in general until we finally got them in 2016. going back with Tamsin after we've lost and talking about the game the whole way home, and then immediately getting home and re-watching the whole game again to video analyze it. You know what? That, I guess that just makes the wins all the better. And yeah, the Copper Box is a phenomenal place to play. And I've got some really amazing memories there. I actually, the first final, the Mavericks final, I didn't think I enjoyed it at all. I was so nervous. And until, I think I spent the first half just shouting at Tom, asking him how long was left. And until, you know, there was a little bit of a buffer and I could actually start to enjoy the fact that we were going to win it. Because, you know, each time you get to a final and you don't quite get over the line, it does. It builds and builds and builds. And that relief when we finally got the first title was pretty special. And I remember we went back over to Westfield and Andy, I seem to remember making you drink out of the trophy.
It depends who's listening. I was more surprised that Katie Holland struck Hughes knew who I was. And Tamsin was like, yeah, you're famous. I'm like, okay. And a few years later, look what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Do you regret it?
But it's games like that. I mean, you can mention the finals, but there's got to be every single game v Mavs at Sports Park, or these days it's a games v Wasps.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been to a few Wasps games when I've been back over. Again, it's just timing-wise, if it works out. I think I actually watched Wasps against Storm. But yeah, I mean, it's similar thing there. Obviously, I've got a bit of a biased investment with T. And so when she went there, I follow those guys and Hannah and Rach, and there's some players who I've obviously spent a lot of time around. And they're the same. And it's really good to see what netball can do in different places and how it's matching up against other sports in these big venues and very quickly becoming a brand of its own there. So, and I think Wasps has done the same.
Yeah, we've always said that. I think it's not, I mean, obviously all those guys are huge parts of our netball family and always will be. So you never have there's no animosity or begrudgment. It's like, full respect for what then goes on to do another amazing brand and another amazing group of girls. And it just, I find it really exciting. Like Pulse again, like we say this a lot, but it's amazing what you can see to achieve.
And like you said, it is exciting. It's each new team and each new successful franchise that starts is another massive opportunity for a load of players to come through and build their own Team Bath, their own Storm. And sort of make it their own thing. And I can now watch, I'm in such a great position, I can now sit back and watch the Super League and enjoy every game without my heart rate being at about 400 and just enjoy, I'm just supporting good netball, guys.
I just want netball to be the winner.
Netball to be the winner. But no, it's good. And I do, I've got my VPN and my Sky Sports app on my iPad, so I still follow all the game.
Have you being able to stay in touch with Cam and obviously keep an eye on how George is doing as well?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I'm pretty useless at keeping in touch with people, but I'm following along with everything. I am following from a distance and, you know, it's great to see. George is having, or was having, an incredible season. She's thrown into the player that we knew she could be and that she was becoming at Storm. She's just a confident, talented attacker with flair and she's very consistent now, and yeah, she's fully earned her place.
And let's be honest, she hasn't peaked yet. Still getting better and better and better. So exciting to watch.
And she will, and she's smart and she really wants to learn. That was one thing about George. You tell her something once and then the next session or the next game she's doing it, and if she's not quite doing it right, she's coming back and asking. So for players like that, there is no peak. She'll just keep getting better till she doesn't want to play anymore.
Love it.
Very exciting.
I mean, that's what I love. Like people like that getting the England call up as well. That's what it should be. Just on merit, let's give these girls a shout. Let's let them play a bit of netball. Let's see how they go. And she's just a great, great candidate for it.
Absolutely. And a real example of just coming through the UK system. So coming through playing Junior Super League and then coming into the senior squad and, you know, just training, playing, putting in the hours, getting the performances and then getting the call up. She's put some time in Georgia. And she's now a doctor, isn't she?
Near enough. Yeah. She's like actually full on saving lives. So good on her.
I mean, makes me feel bad about my endless sunbathing days, but
not gonna stop you.
Exhausting just to hear about it.
But the nice thing is a lot of our Super League stars anyway. I mean, at the minute we've got Neve and Jess and they're currently on the front line and everybody is just doing what they can.
I know, right? Such a bizarre time. It's all really surreal. Obviously we're only, the only snippets I get from the UK are on Sky. That's the only news I can access over here. So it's bizarre to see what's going on over there. Every time I watch something or see something about all the NHS, I just burst into tears. I can't get my head around what all these people are having to do and the risks that they're putting themselves under and the selflessness of people. Like, people are giving up their homes for nurses or doctors who are having to go and relocate, giving up their homes for free for them to live in. And it's bringing out a really good side of people, which is a positive to take from it. I guess everyone just sort of doing what they can and chipping in to try and get through it.
Crazy. It's so hard.
It sounded as if you'd written down a couple of memories. Anything else on that notepad to share?
I mean, the hamster one, Vinny was obviously up there. The other one I was thinking, because I was trying to remember specific memories from Tom, because, again, it was endless. It was just, he just had you laughing the whole time. But the one that actually stood out was he'd either not started as the manager yet and was about to, or he was, but he was meeting us at the game and he wasn't traveling on the bus. And he'd obviously come to the sports park early to drop off. He'd baked cookies.
Of course he had.
I know, endless talents. Put on a big box of cookies on the bus. So we get there, we're all getting on the bus and the front's like, oh, who baked? Because Mum always baked and people would bring various things and we'd scoff our way through the bus journeys. And no one could identify where this big box of cookies had come from. So then we start imagining, you know, whoever we were going to play, it might have been Mabs. We think that they might have put a box of cookies on the bus and poisoned them or put something in them. And all these conspiracy theories start coming out and no one was allowed to eat them. And it was this, I mean, they smelled amazing. So we get to the venue and Tom's there and he asks someone how we enjoyed the cookies. We were like, why would you not tell us? No one's been able to eat them.
I can't believe how much self-restraint that would have taken not to eat the cookies.
I think there was other bait stuff on there, Ems, otherwise we'd probably...
Oh, there you go. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'd probably take one for the team and try
it. Same.
Are you sure?
But it's things like that. And does it seem like it was a while ago or like yesterday?
It does. It feels like a long time ago, but it was such a big part of my life. Like those couple of years where it was... Tom was manager, I was living with Han, obviously Tamsin's my bestie, Rach's in there, Pam's in there, Kat came along and I played with Kat at club. It was just amazing. And you can't replicate that anywhere else. That sort of constant level of competition and training and pressure, but also that camaraderie between a group. And it was the same at Bath. Like, it's a really bizarre lifestyle that is really hard to walk away from, I think, and go to like a normal life. I spend all my time with friends, but with my fiance, and he doesn't play netball.
But it's funny, we've said this to, you know, to Steph and to Becky and, you know, everyone else who's come on. It's like this, the friends and the relationships you build through netball just seem to be so unique.
Absolutely. And I think it's a combination of things, but you spend such a big percentage of your life with the same group of people working towards like the same goal and all putting in everything to it. You do. And do you know what? My netball friends from the UK are still my closest friends that I have. Like, you never lose that.
No.
Obviously life goes on and people have families and, you know, we have to go and work and do stuff, but you never lose those bonds or those friendships that you make, because it is pretty special.
So when this is all over, are we hopping on the latest plane?
Absolutely.
And
come on over. I was thinking, just throwing it out there, what about Surrey Storm pre-season tour to Bermuda?
Well, funny you should say that. I have floated the idea of us going.
And Andy would obviously have fun on the media side.
Yeah.
Exactly. I said to Mick the other day, I was like, we should completely go to the American Open in Vegas. Yeah. And we could go via Bermuda. Pick up Steph on the way.
Games here.
Yeah.
Acclimatise, get a bit of a plan.
Well, you've got a load of BA vouchers, so we'll...
You know what? I'll send them away.
Thanks, mate.
We sacrificed the wedding, but we've got Storm coming to Bermuda.
I mean, you win some, you lose some, don't you?
Absolutely. You'd love it. It's everything you'd think a little tropical island would be.
Lots of people that I speak to over this time as well. If you've got an idea of somebody you'd like to hear from, why don't you get in touch with us? We're at Surrey Storm and the number 10 on Twitter. It'd be really good to hear from you.
Ready? The Surrey Storm podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.